Wachowski from Monsters, Inc., we're number one. Why is that? Because we get the job done. The number one Christian song right now is I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. Welcome back to the 1990s. The number one golfer in the world right now is Dustin Johnson. The number one team in the NFL, still the Philadelphia Eagles. Number one team in the NHL, the Nashville Predators. Last week, the Houston Rockets ended the season number one in the NBA. Now that your SportsCenter update is done, we will get back to the action. Number one is seen as the greatest. Number one is sought after by every company, by every team, by every athlete. In that search for number one, so often there's cause for division. There can be dreams of being alone at the top. Within that obsession, there can be competition, belittling, and pride, even among those working together for the same goal. In the body of Christ, we search to be one. But that's not to be confused with searching to be number one. You see, we're still searching for the greatest. We're still trying for the best, and we recognize that we aren't either. We don't look to be on our own at the top, but we are together when we are humbly obedient to the Word of God. We are one when we're in Christ together. And that is when we are at our best. We're going to be looking at a few different times in Scripture where God talks about the church body, the body of Christ being one. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on for the next few weeks. And today, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Romans chapter 12. So often, when we're looking to be number one, we're looking to get to number one, we're looking to do it on our own power, by our own credentials, in our own way. But what we'll see today and throughout this study is that when we search to be number one, when we search to do it on our own, so often we fall. But when we walk together, when we stand hand in hand, when we all point to Jesus, when we become one, that is when we are at our greatest. In Romans chapter 12, we're going to start with verse 3. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the Father, with the faith God distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." What we see first in this journey of being one while we're many is realizing that it's okay for each of us to be different. It's okay for each of us to be different. There's so much diversity in our world, in our state, in our companies, and even in our church. So many ways that we're different. So many ways that we vary. So many different talents that we have. So many different ways that we see the world. And that's okay. That's okay. Here in Romans, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, our church body is compared to our physical body. If our ears held the same function as our eyes, how would we hear? If our heart decided that instead of pumping blood, it wanted to give us breath, we'd have some problems. If our feet smelled and our nose ran, we'd be a high school boy or a junior high boy. Our body has many parts with different purposes. We function in many different ways using many different parts of our bodies. But they have to each be working in accordance with one another to be able to function the way that God designed. It's okay to be different, and we're designed to be different, to have different functions. In the beginning, God put our physical bodies together, and He knew what He was doing. When He gives us the design of the church and how we work together, we need to notice that the church was never supposed to be full of clones. God created us to be individuals. We may look different. We may sound different. We may think different. We may reason different. It brings glory to the Creator that the creation works how it's supposed to. And when we, in our church body, have different functions and different people doing different things, different leaders stepping up in different areas, different people serving in others, we're working as a body, and that body needs to be focused on being the body of Christ. And in that body, we need you. A car needs its engine. But a car also needs its transmission. It needs an alternator. It needs pistons to fire. It needs the crankshaft. It needs the wheels. It needs the spark plugs, the axle, the battery, and it needs the brakes. Take one of these parts out, and the car won't work as it's supposed to. We as a church need our different parts. We need each individual and the different parts that God has gifted them and worked them in a very special way. We need you. We need each gift like we need each part of the body, like we need each part of a car to be able to work as we're supposed to in the body of Christ. And this only happens working together with different parts, with different functions that sometimes bang into each other, which sometimes clog up a little bit. It only works when we season our fellowship with humility. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Paul knew that it was by grace that he even had the responsibility to give the message that he gave. And we're each encouraged to take on that humility in the way that we will work as a body and as the different parts of that body. We must each be able to look at ourselves and have the humility to know that we can't function alone. That we can't do the job that we're supposed to do by ourselves. That's why God's given us one another. And it's a beautiful thing that He has worked out and He has coordinated. It goes back time and time again to humility. Flip with your Bibles once again over to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. And we're going to also look at Philippians chapter 2. Another time where we see something that's essential to working as a body, working as believers with one another, with Christ as our head. says, therefore, in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any compassion sharing in His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very form of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our unity with Christ is what's pointed out in this passage. Being like Christ, being one with Christ, therefore we can be one with one another. Our unity with Christ isn't that we are like Him in His perfection or in His divine nature. We're united with Christ in one way. And that we are one, bound together by humility and by love, by our service to others. We're called to be like Him in His humility, and in this humility, there's a virtue to be shown not only in the church body, in the way that we interact with one another, but in the way that we interact with the world around us, with the people that we see, with those we run into, with those that we work with. Whatever we do, valuing others above ourselves, being a servant to all, clothing ourselves with tenderness and compassion. In this, we are to be like-minded. Like-minded. To have a mind like Christ. We seek not only to be one in our relationship with others, but more importantly, to be one with Jesus. And this morning, if you would, ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself if you're one with Christ in these ways pointed out to us in Philippians chapter 2. Are we one with Him in our love? Are we constantly making choices to look past divisions, to look past heartaches, and initiate healing? Are we like-minded with Jesus in love? I want you to ask yourself this morning, are we like-minded with Jesus in spirit? Are we keeping our hunger to grow in our relationships and our connection to the Holy Spirit that God gives His people to be able to know His will? Are we asking God to be like Him in His Spirit? I want us to be able to ask ourselves, are we like-minded with Christ in our mind? Are we deepening our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word? And are we asking God for the wisdom that only He can give? I think we can go down this list and we can see areas that we may think we got it. We may think, I can handle that area. Check that one off the list.
Don't need any help there. But the key to being one, the key to working with one another, with our minds focused on Christ, knowing that there may be times where opinions differ and when tensions rise, going to be found in Jesus in our humility and in our love. And to go back and to see, are we doing these things to be in relationship with Jesus so that we can be in relationship with one another? Something we need to be constantly reminded of. Our mindset is set on God and on others. For so many, our focus is on getting ahead, on satisfying our cravings, and maintaining our comfort. And those things aren't always bad. There's a season for making sure that you're able to live, that you're able to walk, that you're able to accomplish the task that God is calling you to. But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. All of these things will be added to you. Jesus tells us that our greatest commandment is to love God and love others. To love God and love others. It all points to the glory of God and the glory that Jesus gave. You know, Jesus came down. Jesus gave of Himself. We're reminded that each week as we take communion of when Jesus stepped down into this world out of humility and out of love, being made in the form of a man, and gave Himself for us. For us to have an opportunity to be one with Him. And in that story, in His journey to the cross, Jesus took some time near the end of His time here on earth, and He went off and He went alone. He went to a garden and He took some time to pray. And He prayed for many different things. I want to look at one of His prayers. In John chapter 17, part of His prayer was for you. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for me. Jesus prayed for all of us. And in John chapter 17, I want to look at part of His prayer for you and I. Chapter 17, starting with verse 20, Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be," what does it say? "One. As you and I are one. I in them and you in me. So they may be brought to complete unity. That the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me." The glory that Jesus says He gives is that we may be one in unity. People crave relationships. We each want to have others that we can rely on, others that we can laugh with, those that we can lean on when things go wrong, people we can celebrate with when things go right. It's a gift that God has given us. Each one of us is called to be a part of the answer to Jesus' prayer, that we may be one. Will you choose today to be one with one another, to be one with God? That connection only comes from Jesus Christ, from the gift and the glory that He has given. If today you want to know about what it means to join this body, to be made one with Christ, to take up His offer and His sacrifice so that we may be made complete in our unity with Jesus Christ and with one another, would you come forward as we sing our song of invitation next?